So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, second chapter, titled The Remembrance of Lord Krishna, text number 20. Tattaiva chanye naraloka veera. Tattaiva chanye naraloka veera. Ahave Krishna Mukaravindam. Yahave Krishna Muharavindam. Netrai Pibanto Nayana Birama. Netrai Pibanto Nayana Birama.
Netrai Pibanto Nayana Birama.
Partha Straputo Padam Apur Asya. Atastraputo padam apur asya.
Atastraputo
padam apur asya.
Tata.
As also.
Eva.
Eva cha.
And
certainly.
Anya.
Others.
Naraloka.
Human society.
Vira.
Fighters.
A.
Those.
Have.
On the battlefield of Kurukshetra.
Krishna.
Lord Krishna.
Krishna.
Mukha Aravindam.
Face
like a lotus flower.
Netrai.
With the eyes.
Pibanta.
While seeing.
Nayana
Abhirama.
Very
pleasing to the eyes.
Partha.
Arjuna.
Astraputa.
Purified by arrows.
Padam.
About.
Apu.
Achieve.
Asya.
Of him.
Translation
by Srila Prabhupada.
Certainly,
those
who were fighters
on the battlefield
of Kurukshetra
were
purified
by the
onslaught of
Arjuna's
arrows,
and
while
seeing the
lotus-like
face of
Krishna,
so
pleasing to
the eyes,
they achieved
the
abode
of the Lord.
So we read
the translation
all together,
all of us.
Certainly
those who were
fighters
on
the
battlefield
of Kurukshetra
were
purified
by
the
onslaught
of Arjuna's
arrows.
And
while seeing
the lotus-like
face
of Krishna,
so
pleasing to
the eyes,
they
achieved
the abode
of the Lord.
We read
the purport.
So,
it's about
a page.
So, all of
you, please
listen carefully.
I'm going
to ask you a
question after
the purport.
So,
normally,
the
audience,
you know, they
ask a question
to the speaker.
So, I'm
going to ask a question.
Let us
see how
attentive you
are.
The
Supreme Personality
of Godhead,
Lord
Shri Krishna,
appears
in this world
for two
missionary
purposes.
To deliver
the
faithful
and to
annihilate
the
miscreants.
But
because
the Lord
is absolute,
it's
two different
kinds
of action,
although
apparently
different,
are
ultimately
one
and
the same.
His
annihilation
of a person
like
Shishupal
is
an auspicious
as well
as action
for the
protection of
the faithful.
All
the
warriors
who
fought
against
Arjuna,
who
were
able to
see
the
lotus-like
face of
the Lord
on
the
battlefront,
achieved
the abode
of the
Lord
exactly
as the
devotees
of the
Lord
do.
The
words
pleasing
to the
eyes of the
seer
are
very
significant.
When
the warriors
from
the
other
side of
the
battlefield
saw
Lord
Krishna
at
the front,
they
appreciated
his
beauty
and
their
dormant
instinct
of
love
of God
was
awakened.
Shishupala
saw
the Lord
also,
but
he saw
him
as
his enemy. and his love was not awakened. Therefore, Shishupala achieved oneness with the Lord by merging in the impersonal glare of his body called the Brahma Jyoti. Others who were in the marginal position, being either friends nor enemies, but slightly in love of Godhead, by appreciating the beauty of his face, were at once promoted to the spiritual planets, the Vaikuntha. The Lord's personal abode is called Goloka Vrindavana, and the abode where his plenary expansions reside are called Vaikunthas, where the Lord is present as Narayana. Love of Godhead is dormant in every living entity, and the entire process of devotion service unto the Lord is meant for awakening this dormant, eternal love of Godhead. But there are degrees of such transcendental awakening. Those whose love of God is awakened to the fullest extent go back to the Goloka Vrindavana planet in the spiritual sky, whereas persons who have just awakened the love of Godhead by accident or association are transferred to the Vaikuntha planets. Especially, there is no material difference between Goloka and Vaikuntha, but in the Vaikuntha, the Lord is served in unlimited opulence, whereas in Goloka, the Lord is served in natural affection. This love of God is awakened by the association of pure devotees of the Lord. Here, the word Parthasraputa is significant. Those who saw the beautiful face of the Lord on the battlefield of Kurukshetra were purified first by Arjuna when he made his onslaught with the arrows. The Lord prepared for the mission of diminishing the burden of the world, and Arjuna was assisting the Lord by fighting on his behalf. Arjuna personally declined to fight, and the whole instruction of Bhagavad Gita was given to Arjuna to engage him in the fight. As a pure devotee of the Lord, Arjuna agreed to fight in preference to his own decision, and thus Arjuna fought to assist the Lord in his mission of diminishing the burden of the world. All the activities of a pure devotee are executed on behalf of the Lord, because a pure devotee of the Lord has nothing to do for his personal interest. Arjuna's killing was as good as killing by the Lord himself. As soon as Arjuna shot an arrow at an enemy, that enemy became purified of all the material contamination and became eligible to be transferred to the spiritual sky. Those warriors who appreciated the lotus feet of the Lord and saw his face at the front had the dormant love of God awakened, and thus they were transferred at once to Vaikuntha Loka, not to be an impersonal state of Brahma Jyoti as was Shishupala. Shishupala died without appreciating the Lord, while others died with the appreciation of the Lord. Both were transferred to the spiritual sky, but those who awakened to the love of God were transferred to the planets of the transcendental sky. Uddhava seemingly lamented that his own position was less than that of the warriors on the battlefield of Kurukshetra because they had attained to Vaikuntha, whereas he remained to lament the disappearance of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timiram Dasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Kumbhitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahim Tadati Svatam. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So I have not forgotten the question. Right? The question is, in the purport, how many times did Srila Prabhupada talk about, don't look into your iPad or your notebook or your computer or calculator? Just a simple question. Right? How many times did Srila Prabhupada mention about love of Godhead in the purport? Any guess? Five. Yeah?
Dozen.
Sorry?
Dozen.
No, I want in numbers.
12.
Any other guess? One more guess. 8 times. Plus once he says love. Right? So this is a mood and mission of Srila Prabhupada for the International Society of Krishna Consciousness. Right? In each of the purport, Srila Prabhupada brings out the mood and mission of his of the statement, basically representing the mood and mission. So what is the mission statement? In the start, you know, Srila Prabhupada says the mission statement of Krishna is Paritranaya Sadhuna, to protect the devotees of the pious, and to Vinashaya Sa Duskritam, to kill the miscreants. Likewise, Srila Prabhupada has also got a mission, ISKCON. His mission is to awaken the love of God, or to achieve the love of Godhead. That was a mission, right? We see there are so many universities, right, in and around Melbourne. They are producing a lot of graduates, science, commerce, you name it, IT, so many graduates. But ISKCON is producing pure devotees. This is a contribution of Srila Prabhupada, right? You can't become a pure devotee by going to Monash University. Can you? No. You have to come to the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, where chanting and hearing of the glories of the Lord is done in the association of devotees. Otherwise, it's very difficult. One has to do the chanting in the association of devotees. Then it is easy. Otherwise, it's very difficult. One can experience that. So, this love of Godhead, as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, is the... What is that? What did he say in the purport? It's natural for the living entity. It's not something artificial. It is natural, right? But it is in a dormant state. Very sleeping state. It's dormant state. Right? So everyone can achieve the love of Godhead, and or it can be revived through the process of Krishna consciousness. Now, Srila Prabhupada, normally, or in many instances, he has given a story or an example of amnesia, right? Forgetfulness. Doctors know that, right? So what happens? A person, right? A normal person, right? Due to some accident or some shock, he completely forgets his identity. He does not know. He does not know who he is and what he was doing before. So what the treatment is? What do the doctors do? They bring him, right, to the hospital. Of course, give him treatment. And the part of the treatment includes his old habits, you know, like he may be going for a walk in a particular street. So they'll take him on a walk to a particular street. Then, looking at his family members, right, or his friends, things like that. So that his original consciousness or his constitutional position is revived. So, in the same way, we have forgotten our identity. Right? Identity crisis. We are suffering from identity crisis. We don't know the identity. So, with this moment, what Srila Prabhupada has organized is chanting and hearing in the association of devotees. So what happens? Your love of Godhead is awakened. Slowly, not rapidly. Very, very slow process. It will be awakened. So that is the process. Now, this love of Godhead is, as Srila Prabhupada says many times, is available in the spiritual sky. But what we see here is opposite to love of God, which is lust. In the basically we see the middle good. Now Krishna explains that in the third chapter. He explains that when a living entity comes in contact with the material nature, right, the love of God is transformed into lust by the association of the modes, especially the mode of passion and ignorance. So the love of God is converted, changed to lust. Now, Chaitanya Charitaram, before we go into love and lust, right, we have to have a definite understanding of what it is, right? Now, Krishnadasa Kaviraja Goswami, the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, gives a definition of love and lust in Chaitanya Charitamrita. He says, Atmendriya Preeti is Kama, Krishnendriya Preeti is Prema. So, Atmendriya Preeti means serving your own senses. This is Kama. And serving Krishna's senses is Prema. This is a definition given by Krishna Radha, Krishnadasa Kaviraja Goswami in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So serving one's senses means you automatically come under the material energy. How? Because the soul is covered by two layers of matter. The soul, Satchitananda Vigraha form, is covered by two layers of matter, gross body and subtle body. So everyone thinks that they are the body. Definitely, they are doing the activity. Kapila Muni, in third canto, 27th chapter, he says, the living entity, right, because they are misidentifying with the body, what they do? They choose a wrong field of activity. Right? And they are suffering because of their attachment to the material energy. Because they are performing a faulty action. So what is their action? If you are a soul, you have to offer devotion service to the Lord. In the first canto, Suta Goswami is explaining to Maharaj Parikshit. Right? He's saying, Savai Pumso Paro Dharma Yathor Bhakti Ajoksase. Ajoksase is Krishna, who is beyond the material perception. So the eternal occupation of every living entity is to offer loving devotion service to Krishna. So that is the eternal occupation that is described by Suta Goswami. But what we are doing? We are identifying with this body and we are picking up wrong field of activity. And because of the attachment to the material energy, a living entity is suffering from time immemorial. Because of the association with the three modes of material nature, a person develops qualities based on the three modes. If you associate with the mode of goodness, you get godly qualities. If you associate with the mode of passion, you get human qualities, unlimited desire to enjoy. If you associate with the mode of ignorance, you get animal qualities. He is seeing that. Very clear, Krishna explains. He's not hiding anything from us, the Lord. Everything is documented and he is saying, right? According to the association of a living entity with the three modes of material nature, he gets a particular form and he enjoys or he suffers. In the 18th chapter, Krishna again explains that how this material body is a machine. Yantra Rudani Mayaya. It's a machine made up of a material nature. Right? And the soul is living in the machine. See, if I have got a car and a cycle, okay, and I am driving cycle in summer, I can go only some 10 to 20 kilometers max cycle, right? But the same person, if I got a car, I can drive at the rate of 60, 70 or 80 kilometers, right? It's the same person, but it is a vehicle I'm choosing, right? So a living entity is the same in all the bodies. Doesn't matter. It's a tree body, cat body, dog body, male body or a female body. It's the same, right? A living entity is the same. But because he chooses a particular vehicle, he goes with that vehicle. This is a stringent law of nature. A dog has to bark. He got the dog's body. He has to do it. So, how does he get there? Because of the association with the three modes. In the previous birth, he has associated in the mode of ignorance. So, he got a dog's body. We have associated with the mode of passion. So, we got a human body. The demigods got demigod's body because they associated with the mode of goodness. But if you associate with Krishna, you get transcendental body. Is it not making logic? What Krishna is saying, right? So all the time, if you associate with Krishna, who is completely spiritual, you get spiritual body. What's the doubt about it? It's explained that an iron rod, right? You take an iron rod and keep in the fire for a few hours, or many hours, 8 hours, whatever maybe. Later, what happens? The iron rod becomes same as fire. But the iron rod, once upon a time, it was an iron rod, right? But after some contact with the fire of heat, the iron rod becomes just like fire. So you can do a lot of things with the iron rod. So we, this matter, this body which is made up of matter, if it is used in the service of Krishna by chanting, hearing, discussing the pastimes of the Lord, by taking Krishna Prashada, associating with the devotees, what happens? This matter, right, gets purified, basically the mind, and then you get spiritual body. That's what is explained. And then it's easy to perform. So, this lust, love of Godhead, is a, we talked about love of Godhead and lust, right? Now the lust is a perverted reflection of love of God. What is perverted reflection? Again, everything is in Bhagavad Gita. Krishna explains in the 15th chapter, the yoga of the Supreme Person, how this world is a reflection of the spiritual world. This world is a reflection of the actual substance is in the spiritual world. This material world is a reflection. Like he gives an example of a banyan tree, right? It's an upside down banyan tree where the roots are at the top and the branches are at the bottom. Kirtan, have you seen a tree with, you should not tell lies, okay? I know children normally don't tell lies. Have you seen a tree with the branches upwards? Sorry, the root upwards and the branches downwards. Have you seen or not? He has not seen. Any one of you have seen the tree? Where?
In the reflection.
Reflection in the pond. See? So what you should do is, in summer, you should ask your parents to take it to some waterfalls or, you know, river or something, where there is a tree and you have to observe that. The reflection. Right? What happens? There is a tree, right? Tree is there with the root down and the branch upstairs, upwards. But if you look the reflection of that tree into the water, what do you see? Upside down. Right? So the root is upside, is on the top, and the branches are at the bottom. But actually, this tree is not existing. It's not existing. It is illusion. That's what Krishna is saying. So whatever life we are doing now, you may think it is very good. It is good for you. But according to Krishna, it's an illusion. Because it's not existing. You're doing a faulty work. You've chosen a wrong field of activity. So that will produce wrong results. You will again have to change bodies. Krishna is saying, changing of bodies. Material energy means changing bodies. Spiritual energy means same. Spiritual body, that's it. Once for it. Material energy means changing bodies. Right? But it's very hard for us to accept. What do you mean by changing bodies? Right? Now, we have this experience with the same body. Why to talk about different bodies, right? Now, once upon a time, I was also like Kirtan, okay? Kirtan, how old are you? 8 years. Do you know that I was also 8 years? I know I was 8 years. Do all of you believe that I was also 8 years? Right? Okay. How old are you? 12. I was also 12 years. Right? Any 20 years old here? Anyone who's 20 years old? 20. Not you. 20 years old. I was also 20 years old. Any 30 years old here? No one is 30 years. 40 years? 40. I was also 40. 50 years. That's me. I don't want to disclose. 60 years and etc. You know. Now, what we have seen is the body is constantly changing. Right? I was 6 years. I was 12 years. I was 20 years. I was 30, 40, 50. I will also become 60 if Krishna permitting. Whatever, maybe. 60, right? Now the body is constantly changing, right? But what happened to my 6-year-old body? What happened to my 13-year-old body, right? And what happened to my 20-year-old body? Okay, at least 40-year-old body. What happened? It's not there. It's gone. Right? My body is gone. But I, as a person, still living. My 6-year-old body has gone. My 13-year body has gone. My 20-year body has gone. No one 30, fine. 40-year body has gone. But yet I am living. So, when I die, I will be living. Krishna is explaining this point. It's difficult to understand. Right? Even after the death you are living. But you take a different body. Again you misidentify with that body. And you continue the cycle of birth and death. Because, again, you're choosing a wrong field of activity. Right? So living entity is eternal. So that is why Krishna is saying the life in Vaikuntha is eternal. There is no repetition of birth and death. The soul is eternal. Mamai vamso jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. You are an eternal fragmental part. It's a part of Krishna. Fragmented. It's not like a piece of broken jar or something, you know. You broke. No, it's a fragmental part, individual fragmental part, which has a capacity of a Satchitananda Vigraha. The part of Krishna. But because it is covered by two gross layers, two matters, gross and the subtle, we identify as matter. So this Krishna conscious process will remove these two coverings. See, of the two coverings, okay, the gross body is relatively easy to control. But the subtle body is very difficult to control because the subtle body is driving the gross body. The mind, intelligence and false ego, right? That is driving the gross body. If I have to go to the different room, right, I have to think first. I cannot walk like that. Isn't it? I have to think. So think. So mind, thinking. Then intelligence has to be there to decide where I have to go. So mind, intelligence, false ego. This is very difficult. That is why the Krishna consciousness, right? It attacks your subtle body. So mind, you are chanting 16 rounds. Very, very difficult to control mind. Arjuna is asking that question. The same Arjuna who is shooting the arrows, right? He asked Krishna, Krishna, I can control the raging wind, but I cannot control my mind. What is the problem? I cannot do that. What should I do? The Krishna says, yes, it's not easy to control your mind. But it is possible. How? By suitable practice and detachment. Detachment of sense objects. And suitable practice is Krishna consciousness. Any bhakti yoga process. So constantly, you know, detachment from the sense object and practice of devotion service. This will take you closer to Krishna. But if you enjoy the matter and want the soul, it's not going to work. This is like lighting a fire and pouring water. How can you light the fire? Devotion service means lighting fire so that you burn all your sinful activities, your material desires, everything. It's a fire. Now you're lighting the fire by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, which is Sankirtana Yajna. It's a Yajna where the tongue is offered as a spoon. With the tongue, you know, you chant. So in Kali Yuga, you are not qualified to do any Yajna, fire Yajna. So you chant with your tongue Hare Krishna mantra. That is why it is Sankirtana Yajna, very powerful. That's the only process recommended. Right? So with the chanting, you control your mind. The intelligence has to be controlled by scriptures. Because all that we are reading, right, newspaper, etc., etc., they're all man-made. Because imperfect, they're all imperfect. Because the material world has got poor defects. Poor defects. So anyone who wrote has got the four defects. What's the defect? Illusion. To get cheat and to get cheated. To cheat and to get cheated. And then imperfect senses and? Sorry?
Making mistakes.
So four defects are there. But scriptures is done by the perfect Lord. Krishna speaks means there is nothing, no fault in that. Right? So by following Krishna's instruction, then the intelligence is purified by discussing pastimes of Krishna. Krishna, intelligence is purified. And then false ego, that's the thickest layer, very subtle, very difficult to go through that. Right? So the false ego is a very, very, you know, important thing, right, for us. Because for other persons, you know, we're not following. For them, they want false ego to enjoy. Right? You need false ego to enjoy. But for devotee, because, you know, they're offering their devotion service to the Lord, the false ego is slowly, you know, diminishing. Right? How? Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Krishnere Nitya Das. So the eternal, we are all eternal servants of Krishna. Now, this reduces the false identity, right? Because in the material world, everyone thinks that they are the proprietor of the body and they keep enjoying. But if you think you are a servant of Krishna, then you don't enjoy. Right? So these three subtle bodies, right? Mind, intelligence, false ego, they are driving the gross body. Right? So we have to be watchful and careful so that if we control the gross body, then the subtle body, then the future gross body will be controlled. Now, the illusory energy of the Lord, right? That is where the three modes are come from. Let us see what the great devotees talk about that, illusory energies, okay? Now, Queen Kunti Devi is talking about the illusory energy of the Lord. Now she is saying, Lord, you are beyond the material perception. Your own illusory energy is covering you like a curtain. Just as a foolish observer, right? He sees an actor on the stage beyond recognition. Right? Someone is acting on a stage, right? They put all the makeups and all that, you know, dressing, and one cannot recognize. Right? So a foolish observer cannot recognize an actor on the stage because he's beyond recognition. So a foolish observer means what? One who is not performing devotional service. Foolish. Muda. Right? He cannot see the Lord because the Lord's own illusory energy is covering Lord like a curtain. If there is a curtain there, we cannot see Radha Vallabha. Right? The curtain has to be removed. So one has to remove the curtain of subtle body and gross body. These are the curtains for us. If we remove that curtain, then we can see Krishna. Then, further on, Kunti Devi is saying, Lord, your lordship cannot be approached, cannot be easily approached, but it can be approached only by one who is materially exhausted. See, as long as you have a desire to enjoy, right? Material desire, then the lordship cannot be, we cannot understand Krishna. Why? Because people who have got the material desires, right? They are on the path of what? Path of improving the parentage, improving beauty, improving education and wealth. And hence, they cannot offer prayers with a sincere feeling. Kriti Devi said. Because you're attached. Because you think, yes, I have got money. I have got this. I have got that. And because of that, they cannot offer prayers with sincerity. And hence, the lordship cannot be approached. Your lordship cannot be approached. Kunti Devi is saying. Now, what is Prahlad Maharaj talking? Illusory energy. When Narasimha Bhagavan, when he killed Hiranyakashipu, after the incident, Prahlad Maharaj offered his prayers to the Lord. At that time, the Lord has come exclusively for Prahlad Maharaj to kill Hiranyakashipu. In fact, Narasimha Bhagavan was wearing the garland, Hiranyakashipu's abdomen as a garland, and the blood is dripping. So this 5-year-old Prahlad is looking at Narasimha Bhagavan and saying, "Oh Lord, I'm not scared of your fearful form, ferocious form, your sharp teeth, nor your lion-like claws. I'm not scared. You know, your ferocious lion-like form, I'm not scared. But I am scared of your illusory energy in the form of conditioned life, which takes a person away from you." Prahlad Maharaj is praying that, right? The illusory energy of the Lord takes a person away from the Lord. This is the power of the Lord's illusory energy. That is why Krishna again, as discussed earlier, he talks in the 15th chapter, that is a reflection. It's the Lord's illusory energy, what we are in, consisting of the three modes, right? It is the whole life, ours is dreaming. We are dreaming. With the mind, okay? Today I'm going to do this. Today afternoon I'm going to do this. Tomorrow morning I'll be doing this. Tomorrow afternoon. Next Monday I'm doing. Next Tuesday I'm doing this. Dreaming. Are you going to do that? You may do it, you may not do it. But dreaming. Right? Now Srila Prabhupada very nicely explains that a person sleeps, okay? Tired or something, he dreams. In the dream, he sees the tiger is coming and eating him, you know? Sweats and all that, he wakes up. He's scared, you know. He wakes up. When he wakes up, there is no tiger, no dream. In the dream, he's thinking, tiger is coming and killing me. But as soon as he wakes up, no more tiger, no more killing. He's awake. This awakeness is called Krishna consciousness, where from the body, you know that you are not this body, you awaken. That, yes, I am a spirit soul. I am not this body. I am no longer this matter, changing matter. right? The presence of the soul. I'm no longer a changing matter. I'm not changing my body. I'm the eternal soul. So once you wake up to that consciousness, then everything is easy. Then that is reality. That is reality. That's what Krishna explains. So the reality is in the spiritual world. So what we are doing here is a reflection of reality. We also want to have family. We also want everything. Nothing wrong. But I'm just saying. But that is, you know, but we are enamored. We are pulled into that illusory energy. But everything, if it is used for Krishna service, then yes, fine. Otherwise, you know, the illusory energy takes you, you know, sucks you. This is how it's created. Lord's own illusory energy. And the other thing with the, basically with the material life is that basically material life, you cannot solve problem on your own. It's basically shifting the problems. You have problems on your head, you shift it onto the shoulder. And from shoulder, you shift it onto your this shoulder, that shoulder, on your hip, something like that. So it's basically shifting of the problem. That is material energy. People are trying to solve problems, right? But it's actually shifting of the problems. So the real problem is misidentifying. That is a real problem. So as long as one is aware that they are not this body, spirit soul, then all the problems will be solved. Till such time, yes, one has to face problems. Because he's an illusion. He's thinking, yes, there is something, but actually there is not. Mirage. Now this Krishna conscious process, which we are doing, is not a new process at all. It's a very, very old process. Right? This process is practiced by all great and pure devotees like Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. So it's all these pure devotees, they practice the same process. They were also chanting, they were also listening to the Lord's Krishna Katha, they were also eating prasadam, they were also associating with devotees. So this Krishna conscious movement produces pure devotee, as I said. That is why Srila Prabhupada, out of his compassion, started this movement. Right? Just by associating with the devotees and hearing and chanting, one can become pure devotees. Because this material desires, right, it will be purified. So, when you come to Krishna, Krishna, what he does is he purifies all the material desires and gives shelter at his lotus feet, which no other god will do that. No other god. They just give the problem. For example, you know, Kirtan, you know, for example, if he's asking his uncle, I want a knife or something. His uncle, oh, my nephew wants to play, so he'll give a knife to him. But the parents, mother and father, will not give a knife to Kirtan. It's detrimental to him. Right? In the same way, the demigods, right? If you pray and say, I want wealth, I want this, okay, give it, only for the lifetime. But Krishna is concerned about your eternal soul. So whatever is favorable for the devotee, he will give. Whatever is not favorable, he will not give. It's like a knife to us. Because it may be detrimental to us. So, I'm just thinking, I've covered all that. Okay, so we talked about Krishna consciousness and all that, but there are also some stumbling blocks on the path of devotion service, right? So if we know this point, then we know that we can further advance in Krishna consciousness. What are the stumbling blocks on the path of Krishna consciousness? There are three, basically. Ignorance. Ignorance, again, coming back to the idea or the concept that you are the body. See, ignorance, only when you are in ignorance, when you think that you are the body, then you do sin. And how does it happen? Ignorance, forgetfulness of Krishna. The moment you forget Krishna, you are come under the bodily platform, you do sin, karma, suffering. If you remember Krishna, then you know you are the soul, then you will not do sin. Right? So ignorance or forgetfulness of Krishna comes, drags you to the bodily platform and you do sin. You have to suffer. The second anartha is, second stumbling block is anarthas. Unwanted things, right? Like a dream. We think that I want this. I need that. I need. This is unwanted thing. Unwanted. So many people, you know, they're smoking, drinking. You know, unwanted, not needed. But I want it. They put it into the mind. They want it. So hence, you know, that's another unwanted thing for the devotional service. That's another problem. And then aparads. Right? Aparads is also, you know, very, very, very detrimental. So we have to be careful that we don't, you know, do aparad, you know, voluntarily or involuntarily, you know. Because sometimes we see, we may not do consciously, but sometimes when you kirtan, it's not, I'm not calling him, when you when you dance on the kirtan and all that, you stamp on someone's leg or, you know, things like that. You don't mean it actually, but it could be aparad also. Right? So we have to be cautious in that sense, you know what I mean? So all will lead, you know, to distasteful of Krishna's name. Because once when you don't have a taste for Krishna's name, then you cannot progress. Everything is, you know, based on, so the Krishna's name will not be tasteful any longer. And hence, you will stop chanting. Hence, that's it. That's a downfall. So these three are the very important stumbling blocks. Okay, I think I covered basically it. And I'll stop here. So if any quick comments, corrections, questions? Very pleasing to the eyes. Nayana Abhirama. Very pleasing. As Krishna, as Srila Prabhupada explains, right, in the purport. Pleasing to the eyes. Looking at the Krishna's beauty, right? What happened? People, you know, the soldiers were there. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport. He says how looking at the Lord, you know, it was very, very pleasing. Lotus-like, you know, face, lotus-like, eyes, everything lotus-like. So looking at the beauty of the Lord, the people developed the love for the Lord and their dormant love was awakened. And because of that, Krishna was so kind, he took them to the spiritual sky. But Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in the purport that Shishupal was always inimical, a Kamsa. So what they'll do? They will not be given direct service to Krishna. Yes, Krishna is very kind because he killed them. So he puts them into the Brahma Jyoti. The Lord's first realization, right? Which is Brahma Dhoja, which is just light. But there will be only happiness. Happiness will be there. But because the soul is very active, right? Full of happiness. See, some people, right? Because they don't know devotion service, what they do, they just practice, they want to go to Brahma Jyoti because Brahma Jyoti means only happiness. Only happiness. There's no service to the Lord. But the soul is very active. So what happens? They fall down. Because they cannot go up. They don't know devotion service. So how can they go up? They fall down and they build a hospital, as Srila Prabhupada says, they build big hospital like charity and all that. Because they are attracted to the material energy. Because some activity, they have to perform some activity. Hospitals, education institute, Monash University, Swinburne. Who knows? So things like that, you know. Material activity they perform. But if they know Krishna, the destination changes. Because he is, who is Krishna? He is, I expect a answer which I was thinking in my mind. What is, who is Krishna? Krishna is the absolute truth. Everything is coming from Krishna. So he is absolute truth. Krishna and his energies are all coming from Krishna. And Krishna is without a second. There is no one else equal to or greater than Krishna. Everyone is subordinate. So that's why it's absolute truth. Krishna is Krishna's energy. Yeah.
One more thing. Why our we are increasing our material desires? Because we are forgetting Krishna.
Material desires.
Why are we increasing material desires?
Why you are increasing?
Yeah. Because we are forgetting Krishna. And what material energy is doing, they are giving you nice degrees, nice apartments, very nice families and all that. But that is attracting us more. There you say with three stumbling blocks.
Now, the spiritual desire, the material desire and spiritual desires are there, right? Now, if a living entity chooses to be in the material energy, he develops material desires, right? Because of the attraction to the material energy. So material desires goes. Now, material desire and spiritual, they are like a seesaw, you know, they're exactly opposite. If your material desire is high, your spiritual desire will be low. So if your spiritual desire is high, material desire will be low. So if you have material desire, what will you do? You increase your spiritual desire, then the material desire will come down. Right? For example, I have a small line. One line I put here. And I put a big line here. Then this line becomes insignificant, right? This is a small line, there's a big line. Then this becomes insignificant, the small line. So material desire will become insignificant when you do devotion service. Srila Prabhupada gives an example. Right? You see the big high-rise building, okay? On the land. When you see the buildings are so high. You know? But when you go to India or elsewhere, when you fly, how big is a building looking like? Like Lego toys, right? So small. When you look in the, you know, in the window of the aeroplane, right? How big it looks? It looks so small. So as you progress, mode of ignorance to passion, passion to goodness, goodness to pure goodness. Goodness itself is pretty good. And goodness to pure goodness, as you go, it is like, you know, nothing. Right? Because the Lord's spiritual energy is powerful, is superior than the Lord's material energy, because the Lord's material energy is inferior in nature. It's a matter. The Lord's spiritual energy is conscious. In the spiritual world, everything is conscious. This pillar can talk to me. Yeah, if I am there. It will talk. Everything will talk to each other. Conscious. Everything. The mic will say, okay, your time up now. Stop. In a spiritual world, everything will talk. It's conscious. But in the material world, except this place, but I'm using this, matter. Because of the presence of the soul, everything is happening. Once the soul comes out, dead body. So we are gratifying our dead body. That should be the conscious. Actually, our body is dead. We are glorifying a dead body. Because of the presence of the part, fragmental part of the Lord, the body is working. But if the fragmental part is removed, body is dead. It's matter. So, always you should be conscious that we are matter. So, the soul enjoying matter is an inferior position. We are conscious living entity, but we are trying to seek enjoyment in the matter, material. Desire means enjoying matter. So, the soul which is conscious is enjoying matter, which is precarious.
And also, Prabhupada gives one more example, that the glass, if you fill it with dark blue, you know, ink,
dye, yeah.
Dye, then you put anything, then it goes. Then we are fully conscious of Krishna, then no material that is in condition.
So we have to start somewhere. Fully conscious is a very high step. Not everyone is on that platform. So we have to start somewhere. But nevertheless, test will be given. Okay? It's an examination. The examination is there. Are you passing at the time of death? That's the examination. Examination is not that, you know, you put a tilak and, you know, you give a Bhagavadam class. That's not the examination. At the time of death, are you thinking of Krishna? Otherwise, again, same old story. Back to a new body. That's a test. The test lies in the last exam. So are you thinking of Krishna? Because if you, Krishna says, if you think of me, you will come to me. If you think of demigod, you go to demigod's planet. If you think of a human, you will come here. If you think of an animal, you will be in the zoo. You need not have to go to the zoo. You will be in the zoo. So if you think of Krishna, you come to my planet. Very simple. So are we thinking? That's a question. So everything is directed towards at one point. At the time of death, am I consciousness is so pure that I'm going to think of the Lord so that I'll be transferred to the spiritual sky. For that you have to practice. It's not, you're not going to get devotion service just like that. You have to practice sadhana bhakti. That's what we're doing there. Slowly, as I said, the iron rod, right? It will become fire. We will become pure because Krishna is pure, pavitram. We are not dealing with the ordinary personality. The supreme personality of Godhead, completely pure. So, that's a faith. Hare Krishna. We'll stop here. Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam Srila Prabhupada.